Good morning. It's the Big Honkin' Show on the air. And you know what? It's just me this week. It's all Big Honkin' Steve on the Big Honkin' Show. And I am glad you're along with us this morning. You know, the Big Honkin' Show is just our chance to look back at some things over the past week and kind of see what we thought was funny, what we thought was enjoyable, what we thought, what we thought worked, what we thought didn't work. You know, I hate that our good friend Buck isn't here with us. He's actually he's trying to call in right now, and he knows that I have no clue how to take a call. So I need to get on that. I need to work on that whole situation. We'd put him on the air right now. So he can't pick me up where he's at over in Valdosta, but we definitely have some words from Buck as my email inbox filled up rather quickly right off the bat today. Here's the thing: it's October, Halloween is just around the corner coming up, and so we are working toward a fun Halloween show for you, the Big Honkin' Show listening audience, and the Big Honkin' audience, as it were, the Honkinators. I don't know what we call the audience of the Big Honkin' Show, but we got a lot of ideas floating around for Halloween coming up, and that because Saturday this year Halloween falls on a Saturday, and the Big Honkin' Show always happens on a Saturday, so we're looking forward to fun shenanigans on Halloween. Leading up to that, we've got a couple of stories, a couple of different things going on that we want to talk to you about. And I guess the first thing is, we mentioned it last week on the show a little bit. Buck and I were talking about how there's not a at Cracker Barrel. We got the email about Cracker Barrel already having Christmas stuff out and what was already going on there. And I was kind of miffed about that because these kind of things irk me as a human being. It's like, come on, let us get through this holiday before we get to Christmas. I love Christmas. I love what Christmas is. I love how Christmas works out. But to start before Halloween with your Christmas stuff is just one of those things that really irks me. But Christmas is the most celebrated holiday in the U.S., if not the world, followed closely by Halloween. Halloween is the second most celebrated holiday in the world. And I always say that, you know, the comedian Brad Stein said it best when he said, you've got peace on earth, goodwill toward men, or you've got boo. So, I tend to fall on the side of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Because the whole idea of Halloween is let's see how many people we can scare. And it's not that hard a thing to scare anybody, really, when you think about it. And it's not even the word boo that scares people. It's the fact that, well, you were hiding in the refrigerator. I was going to get some cold cuts and wasn't expecting you to pop out. But Halloween's coming up. And we're looking forward to what we're going to do on the show that day. We've got a lot of neat Halloween tips for you coming up on that day of the show. But as I thought about Halloween and what really, you know, there's not a lot in that really scares me anymore. I've got a good friend who's hopefully listening right now. I call him Crevis. His real name's Matt. I call him Crevis. And Crevis can scare me with his driving. Has been that way for years. But honestly, I don't get scared about a lot of things. The last time I remember being really scared was the year was 2005, and I was on a trip with a youth group. I was speaking for a youth group up in Tennessee. We were kind of in North Georgia, Tennessee, and it was a whitewater rafting trip for this group. And now, for those of you who don't know me, there's a reason I call myself Big Honkin' Steve. As I said on the very first inaugural episode of this show, it's because, well, I'm a big guy. I am rotund, some would say, large. Some would use the word fat. The point is, I'm big. And I really don't have much business at all doing physical things. This is why I choose to sit down and talk into a microphone on a Saturday morning rather than get out and rake leaves or cut the grass, because this appeals to me more. I'm in an air-conditioned room. I'm just sitting down talking, and hey, I'm not sweating right now. But they wanted me to do this whitewater rafting thing, which I had done it before, and I'm like, well, you know, it's pretty fun, I guess. It's okay. I can do it, you know. And the thing about whitewater rafting is there has to be several things in play for you to go down a river that is whitewatering. I don't know what you call that. That is, you know, I mean, it is, the reason it is whitewater is because the water is foaming up, because air is churning through it, because it is either rolling very swiftly over itself or it is rolling very shallowly over rocks and such not. In the case of doing whitewater rafting up in North Georgia and Tennessee, it is the latter. It's because this water is rushing very swiftly over rocks and whatnot. And so, and it is being churned up by the rocks. Therefore, you get the appearance of white water. So, when you get in, they tell you right off the bat, they say, if you have any physical infirmities that you need, you know, that could keep you from listening to, or keep you from listening to, keep you from, keep you from hearing, what am I thinking? Keep you from being able to whitewater raft. Thank you, Steve. They can keep you from whitewater rafting. Let your river guide know. Now, your river guide is a friendly person who their whole job is to all day take groups of people on these big rubber rafts down the river. And they sit at the back of the river and they act like they know what they're doing, because normally they do know what they're doing. So I get there, we get down there, and we're talking to the person at the whitewater rafting thing, and I look at our river guide, and I'm like, they told us to let you know if we have any handicaps or anything like that. And I do, and he's like, all right, what's wrong with you? I said, well, I'm fat. Now, I'm telling him this as I'm wearing a life jacket that says it's one size fits all, but let me tell you something. Let me tell all you one size fits all people about one size fits all. It is not one size fits all. One size does not fit all, because one size does not fit me, and I'm part of all, but one size does not fit me. So what you've got is a situation where this thing is about to explode, where like I have tucked and sucked in as much as I can, and now the straps on this thing are near the breaking point. And should I inhale too much, someone's going to die. Because the clip is going to pop off and kill them. I mean, that's really, it's going to pop off with the force of a bullet and literally pierce their skin and probably kill them. So I'm sitting here talking, I'm fat. You know, I'm all sucked in and everything. And he kind of laughs, and I'm like, all right, we're good to go. We're good to go. Little did I know we were not good to go. Because as we began to head down the river, we had been on the river for maybe 5 minutes. And this joker decides he was going to have some fun and bump into a rock and send us spinning. Let me tell you something, those of you who are outdoorsy and who enjoy this kind of stuff, there's no sense in spinning when you're precariously perched on a rubber raft and you're going downstream in water that could kill you because you could fall out and get stuck under a rock. There's no sense in that. And so we start to head down the river. We start to head downstream, and we hit this rock, and immediately I go over the side. I completely just fall right out of the raft. And what happens is because you have to get your foot lodged under the seat in front of you so that you don't like fall out. My foot was lodged, and it was lodged good, and so I'm dangling over the side of the raft while we're going down the river. Now, understand, I was speaking for a group of teenagers, and I happened to get in the boat with all the 6th and 7th graders that were on this particular trip. So I'm in the boat with a bunch of middle schoolers who suddenly decide it's their mission in life to pull me up out of the water while I'm dangling there. And to do so, they're all over the leg that is stuck under the seat in front of me. So I'm dangling by one leg out in the water. I'm like, get my foot loose. And so they couldn't. One kid hears what I'm trying to say, and he tries to do his best to get my foot loose and to get me out of the thing, but he can't. And I hear the river guide the whole time, get him in! Get him in there! Hey, pull it back in the boat. And these guys are straining with everything they've got to try to pull my fat tail back into the raft with them. And they just can't. Finally, I get a leg thrown up over, and I guess in desperation, the need to survive kicks in. And I do something that I've not done in years and haven't done since. I do a sit-up, where I literally just pulled myself back up, and that kind of helped them pull me on back into the raft. And so I'm there, my knee is killing me, I had almost drowned, and though it was refreshing to go in the water, and so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, gosh. And so I pull my leg out, I kind of make sure my knee's okay and it's working, because it got wrenched pretty good up under there, up under this little raft thing. And we start heading on down the river, and everything's groovy, everything's cool, until the guy decides we're going to hit another boat that is stuck on a rock. I don't know if his thought process was let's bump them and help them get unstuck, or if his thought process was, I don't know what I'm doing as a river guide, therefore I'm going to bump the raft. We hit this thing full speed, head on. Now, I had been back in the raft maybe a minute. I mean, I had barely gotten back in the raft, and we hit the thing, and our raft goes straight up into the air, and all seven people, river guide included in the raft, come falling out. And I don't mind telling you, and I'll confess this on the national public airwaves that we are on right now, as my back touched the water, I did utter a slight cuss word. I didn't yell it. It wasn't a yelp of fear. It was more at this point of just disgust. I was over being scared of the water. I was completely over being scared of the water. I had been in the water. I had dangled. I had almost drowned. Now I was just like, great. Now I'm all the way out of the boat, and there's no way I'm going to get back in. So for the next few minutes, and by few minutes, I mean 30, I'm in the Whitewater River, whatever they call the river up there. I think it's the Ocoee. I'm in that river, and my life jacket is now in my way, because this thing would not go all the way down over my fat belly. So, like, they would tell you if you can stick your thumbs up under the straps and pull up and touch your ears, it's too loose. The thing was already at my ears because it wouldn't go down all the way on my stomach. I mean, I'm just a rotund, round guy. And so there I am. And I'm thinking, my life would be so much simpler right now. Because let me tell you people something that don't realize is, fat floats. And I'm a good floater. I can kind of kick back in the water and just kind of float. And so I'm thinking, if I could just unbuckle this life jacket, if I could unbuckle this thing that's hindering me right now rather than helping me, I would be okay. But alas, I was worried I'd get in trouble. I'm like, no, I might get in trouble if I do this. Here I am, nearly 30 years old, worried about getting in trouble. I'm like, this is the mindset I go to. I guess this shows that I have not quite grown up, because I'm a grown man worried about, hey, I don't want to get in trouble with anybody if I do this. And so I leave it buckled. Then I get to thinking, I see one of the little paddles that we use float by, and I'm like, I bet if I grab that, I could take these rapids just me. In fact, I might be able to help a couple of these guys that have fallen out and stick them in the belly button, and I could be their Whitewater raft. And then I thought, no, I'd have to unbuckle the life vest to do that, so can't do that. But then I thought, no, if I try to go down this thing by myself, I'll probably get in trouble. And so then I think, well, you know what? I'm through with whitewater rafting today. I'm going to swim over here to the bank, and I'm going to climb the hill to where there's a road and the buses that take you back up to the camp. I'm just going to hop on one of those buses. Then I thought, no, they tell you not to go to the bank. So I might get in trouble for that. Like, everything, I stayed in the water fighting for my life because I was worried I would get in trouble. It was the last time I can remember being scared, and what is so ridiculous about it is most of my fear for drowning took place while I was dangling off the side of the boat. Once it was just me out in the water and the elements, it's like, I got a feel for this thing. It's not going to be comfortable. My butt's going to hit several rocks, but I think I can handle this. And what kept me from actually just trying to do the things that would have made me happy was the fact that, well, I was scared of getting in trouble. I didn't want to get in trouble. I don't know what they would have done to me. Like, we're going to fine you for being fat and floating down the river without a life jacket or a boat. But here's what happened. That whole weekend while we were there, there was a group of Boy Scouts, Troop 827 from Ocean Springs, Mississippi. And we'd all kind of made jokes about, hey, be prepared. We'd be driving around in the vans or in the vehicles saying, hey, be prepared, be prepared. And you know, we thought it was fun. Well, here comes, as I'm floating down the river, up the river, all pushing against the current to save lives, here comes Troop 827 from Ocean Springs, Mississippi, just right up the river. And this one little boy, he'd already pulled like two of the guys from our raft in the boat, and he was in life-saving mode. He was going after his merit badge for life-saving. And he grabbed me by the shoulder straps. I'm like, not going to happen today, buddy. Sorry. And even the river guide saw the big sea manatee that I was, the big in the water. He's like, just let me handle it. Let me handle it. I got it. Hey, buddy. I got it. So, last time I really remember being scared for my life in any way. But we're going to be talking about more stuff that scares people as the weeks approach. And we get to Halloween in a couple of weeks. We're going to be right back, right here on the Big Honkin' Show. It's the Big Honkin' Show. We're on the air 20 minutes after the hour, and I can't believe we just wasted 20 minutes. Let me just say it for Buck, who attempted through that entire first segment to derail me the entire time. The light was flashing, the phone was ringing, my inbox on my phone was lighting up with text messages and instant messages, and he won't stop. And I got a picture from him. He's holding a Snuggie. He's holding a Snuggie in Walmart. And it's like he wants to be a part of the show, but he refuses to be here today. So, you know what? We're ignoring Buck the rest of the day. Hope you're doing well today. This is the Big Honkin' Show. We're brought to you by Griffin Insurance over in Douglas, Georgia. Contact those guys at Griffin Insurance for all your various insurance needs. They're your local licensed Grange dealer and Grange agent, not dealer, but Grange agent. And they'll help you out. Insurance, that's for my good friend Chris in Boston. Insurance. I still don't know how you're supposed to say it. I have not heard anyone say it any differently than what I say it. Insurance. Anyhow, a couple of shout-outs today. I have several shout-outs, and these are the shout-outs for thank you so much for not being a help to me today. Number one, my brother John. I called John yesterday in dire need saying, hey, brother, why don't you come join us on the show? You've got some good stories to tell. You were on American Idol. Everyone wants to hear you talk about that. Everybody loves John. I call him up. And he's like, well, what's going on? I said, what are you doing tomorrow? He said, I'm working, and I am not coming to be on the radio show. Just like that. I also want to give a shout-out to my cousin today, who's working, getting set up for his little girl's birthday. He couldn't be here. Jason, my cousin, tried to get him here. And then our good friend Josh, who said no. And then, of course, Buck. We give you all shout-outs and say thank you. Thank you so much for not being here today. As we do so often here on the Big Honkin' Show, we take you to the Associated Press and some news stories that have caught our eye over the past couple of weeks. The first one is goes back to something we've talked about several times. Says, Florida woman hurt while trying to save, and I'm using quote fingers there because that's what's in the thing, ding, ding, save a wild emu. Mossyhead, Florida. A Florida panhandle woman was flown to the hospital after being clawed by a wild emu she was trying to corral. The woman, who was not identified, purportedly wanted to take it to an animal shelter. An emergency responder said the incident didn't seem like an attack. The animal was just trying to protect itself. The woman was treated for a cut on the arm and released Sunday evening. So apparently, the emu doesn't want to be saved. Emu's like, I'm out here, I'm doing my thing, don't bother me. Well, I bring that up because a good friend of the show, Shubata, from Amherst, Massachusetts, or Maine. What is MA? What is the abbreviation MA? Is that Maine or Massachusetts? Somebody let me know. Says, hi, Steve. Great show. Look forward to downloading it every week because you can download the show in podcast form. Not that anyone would want to get this one this week, but you can download the show in podcast form over at bighonkinshow.com, or you can do it through iTunes right there on your computer. I might be one of the few who hasn't had trouble. We did have some troubles there. I always get a kick out of your story slash rants, and they get me really laughing. In response to your what are yard sales called in the North, we call them tag sales. Like, tag, you're it. Like, you have to buy this because I got you. Tag, you're it. You got to buy it. You got to 50 cent. 50 cent, you got to buy it. Tag, you're it. You got to buy this ripped shirt. For your emu versus ostrich debate, it's not really a debate as much as it was a query. She says, ostriches, Africa, rhea, South America, and emu in Australia are all flightless birds. The ostrich is the largest bird in the world, standing 7 to 8 feet tall. Emus stand about 6 feet tall, and rhea is about 5 feet tall. The emu has 3 toes, while the ostrich has 2, the only bird to have 2 toes. The emu and the ostrich are both fast runners, with the ostrich being faster than the 2. I would assume that's because its legs are longer and it has less toes to weigh it down. Both birds have a strong, powerful kick and could easily kill a man just by kicking. That is a dangerous bird. That is a dangerous bird. Stay away from the ostrich and the emus. This woman in Florida is lucky to be alive. She could have been killed trying to save the emu. This is why I don't mess with animals in the wild. This is why, I forget who I heard say it first, but I completely agree with them, that if I am killed by an animal, they had to hunt me down. Okay? I didn't do the thing where I went and set up a stand in the woods and waited for the beast to walk underneath me. They had to come to my house, knock on my door, act like they were delivering a pizza, and come in and take me out. And even then, there's going to be a fight. Even then, there's going to be a struggle. Leave the emus alone. Just leave the emus alone. They'll stab you. They'll scratch you. They could kick you to death. And who wants to show up in the afterlife saying, well, how'd you lose it? Emu kicked me. Who really wants to be that person? Well, I got kicked by an emu. Got kicked by Steve Irwin somewhere, like a stingray got me. I know, isn't that terrible? That was wrong. That was bad. Crikey, you shouldn't mess with the emu. Well, you shouldn't have messed with the stingray. I know, that's terrible. That's bad. That's awful. That's bad. Got a couple other emails here. This comes from Faith, and Faith says, I think she's up in North Carolina. She says, dear Steve and maybe Buck, I just wanted to take a quick moment to thank you for doing this show. I look forward to listening to it every week. Unfortunately, I can't listen live because I don't live anywhere near you, but I anxiously await its arrival in my iTunes. My birthday is Saturday, and I can think of nothing better than to wake up and listen to the show, but I guess I'll have to pretend it's Monday. You always quit looking at me like that. We've moved past the joke, all right? And if you can't deal with it, you need to just move on. You always say that the show is like Saturday morning cartoons. Confession, I never watch Saturday morning cartoons. At my house, those are reserved for weekend chores like cleaning bathrooms, dusting, etc. But your show reminds me of those mornings because of the music. I jam out to 90s contemporary Christian After Adventures in Odyssey and actually enjoy myself while cleaning. I've never enjoyed myself while cleaning. Anyway, don't want to take up any more of your time. Just want to let you know that even though my childhood was different, you caused me to think back on fond memories while laughing way too loudly in the grocery store. Your friend, Little Faith. Little Faith, I then said, well, what kind of music do you listen to? And she sent me some songs, but I didn't have them available to be able to queue up. So, first off, I want to say happy birthday to Faith. Happy birthday, Faith. And I need a birthday song. Say it's your birthday. You know, Beatles. Isn't that Beatles that did that? Help us out. You say you want to be a part of the show and help out, and then I ask you something, and you give me a blank stare. But happy birthday, Faith. Happy birthday to you. Let me do it like, hey! Happy birthday, Faith. So, thanks for listening, and I'll try to get some of those songs that you mentioned queued up because they're good. They take me back to a certain time in my life too. It's pretty fun stuff. This one comes from Nate. Nate says, I would just like to say Barack Obama. It is so a conspiracy. And he included a picture of our president just kind of sitting on his telephone, smiling and laughing. And he says, what's he saying in that picture, you ask? Oh, yes, I got the Nobel Prize. Suckers never saw it coming. Suckers never saw it coming. World domination, and it started with the Obama chia. He's just missing the snuggie now. I fully expect President Obama to accept his Nobel Peace Prize award fully dressed in a snuggie with a chia Obama up on the podium right next to him. I stand here in the greatest examples of capitalism and accept this award that I did nothing for greatly and gratefully. What's so funny is everyone's up in arms about the president receiving the Nobel Peace Prize, and I agree, he hasn't done anything to deserve it. In fact, the people who awarded him the Nobel Peace Prize admitted, well, we know he's done nothing, but it's the prospect of what he could do. Basically, someone said they gave it to him because he's not George W. Bush. And I guess I could see that on one hand, but on the other hand, I'm like, idiots. But they basically said it's the prospect of what could happen. Well, let me tell you, there's another prospect of what could happen. We've already got space ticked off at us. Space is mad at the Earth right now. We'll get there. I'm getting there. But he did nothing to do it. But I do ask people, I'm like, well, who won the Nobel Peace Prize last year? And no one has been able to tell me who it was without Googling. And then one person, several people said, well, I know Jimmy Carter won it once. You know, and it's like, I do too. I know that too. But I couldn't tell you when he won it. I know why he won it, but I couldn't tell you when, what year. And that was several many years ago. That wasn't last year. I do remember when two guys from Ireland won it for really bringing some stuff to the whole NRA, not NRA, yeah, the Northern Republic Army, yeah. Anyhow, there's a lot of conflict that's been going on in Northern Ireland, and so there were some people who got together, and that's probably almost 10 years ago or more than I remember that. Bono had a big part in that, Bono from U2. I love this, he's like, I would just like to say, Barack Obama. It's so a conspiracy. Oh, yes, I got the Nobel Prize. Suckers never saw it coming. No one saw it coming. So, it's just one of those things that happen. It's one of those things that, you know, things can't be explained. The space is angry with us, by the way, because we bombed the moon. And space is like, you want to bomb the moon? We got something we'll throw at you. Listen to this. NASA downgrades the threat of large asteroid. Earth can breathe a sigh of relief. NASA on Wednesday downgraded the odds of an 885-foot asteroid striking the planet in 2036. Excuse me. Scientists initially believed there was a 1 in 45,000 chance that Apophis, that's the name of the asteroid, could hit the planet on April 3rd, 2036, but the threat was lowered to a 1 in 250,000 chance after the researchers recalculated the asteroid's path, which basically means they're like, let's throw up a big math equation no one will understand, and they'll be more comfortable about it. There wasn't anything to worry about before. Now it's even less so, said Steve Chesley, an astronomer with the Near Earth Object Program at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Chesley and his colleagues refined the asteroid's orbit after an astronomer in Hawaii analyzed previously unreleased images that gave scientists a better idea of Apophis's position. Earth got a scare in 2004 when initial measurements suggested the newly discovered Apophis seemed to have a chance of hitting the planet in 2029. Further observations ruled out any possibility of an impact. Scientists are tracking Apophis, which is slated to come within 18,300 miles above Earth's surface in 2029. In a related story, after bombing the moon, Apophis is now headed on a direct course and will hit us tomorrow. Space is angry with us. We bombed the moon. Did you hear about that? You didn't hear about bombing the moon? We bombed the moon so that we could see what was in it, see if we could get water out of it, which I think is really interesting. I know it costs a lot of money, but that kind of stuff just intrigues me. Have you ever looked at some of those Hubble telescope pictures, like from space, from NASA? There's some really neat stuff out there. Really neat stuff in space. Space is really neat. You know, I'm not turning the mic on for you. You don't deserve it. So... TV news. TV is up and running. The fall season of TV. We've mentioned this before. Last night we watched Smallville, several of us. And for those of you who don't watch Smallville, it's a show about Superman before he was Superman and on his journey. And last night they had zombies on there. And that just really, I mean, I guess it's all leading toward the big, you know, Halloween stuff that everyone, you know, was in the Halloween mindset. Everyone's doing these Halloween things. But there's another new show on TV that I've got to talk. I'm kind of an expert on ghost shows. And I don't mean like the fake ghost show. I don't mean like Ghost Whisperer or Patrick Swayze and Whoopi Goldberg movies or what's another ghost show? Wizards of Waverly Place. I don't mean those. That's not a ghost show. Those are wizards. That's not a ghost show. I don't know anything about it. But I'm kind of an expert on the TV shows Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International and Destination Truth. And there's a new one that came on Discovery. It's called Ghost Labs. And what Ghost Labs is it is a bunch of rednecks who are showing the rest of the world how to do ghost hunts. I don't guess they're rednecks, but they're good old boys. They're from Texas. They've got a big old trailer they pull behind them. It's like the Taps guys, they load up in their little trucks, and they take a little caravan to wherever they're going, and they spend the night. These boys load up the trailer like a modified race, like a modified NASCAR trailer. They've got all kinds of equipment in this thing. They're analyzing all their stuff right there. And so the other night they were in Shreveport, Louisiana at a music hall there where apparently Elvis and Johnny Cash and a bunch of them used to play at the old Wild West Stampede or whatever they called it. This was back when Johnny Cash was more popular than Elvis. And Elvis used to open for Johnny Cash. And anyhow, what they were trying to do was get a lot of activity because people talk about doors were opening and closing on their own and people were seeing things and hearing things. And so to try to get things riled up, they're like, we need to make things like they were when everything was at its most active around here. And that would have been the 1950s with these shows that were going on. So they put on a rockabilly show. Like they got up, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. And I'm like, that is the coolest thing because all these other shows, they're turning lights out. They're being really quiet. And these guys are like, uh-uh. We're going to try to stir things up. We're going to try to get things revved up around this joint. And it was just so funny to see. And it's all based on a theory this guy has about ghost hunting and that sort of thing. But sure enough, they started playing and doors started slamming. They started hearing things. They started chasing after things. It was pretty crazy. Then they went to what is considered to be one of the most haunted sites in America, the Myrtles Plantation out in Louisiana. There was apparently slaves killed during a lot of unrest in the Civil War. Let me just say it that way. And this, there was apparently a slave brutally treated and killed. There was a lot of stuff that happened as far as like just some Civil War stuff. Phone is now lighting up. It's my mama saying, you don't believe in all that ghost stuff, do you? You don't believe in any of that stuff. You don't enjoy it. You don't like that stuff. Now, Steve, come on now. You don't like that. Why do you watch that trash? Why don't you just watch Dancing with the Stars? Now, if you want to talk Dancing with the Stars, I'll come up there and sit down and talk Dancing with the Stars. Now, I love Dancing with the Stars. I'm tired of things with the stars. That's one of my problems with ghost hunters is they've become ghost hunting with the stars. Like, anytime there's something special going on, they had Meatloaf on there last week. And Meatloaf, he was a trip. Like, he was funny, but it's like, come on. Are we supposed to take your show seriously now that you've had Meatloaf on there? I would do anything for love. It's like, sing, why don't you, Meatloaf, instead of hunt ghost. But apparently he can't sing anymore. Apparently he's got some, like, vocal issue things going on. Did you hear about that? Did you know about that? Anyhow. So those things are going on. And my friend Crevice, who I guess I should ask Crevice to come in. But Crevice, I'm kind of scared. There's some people you just are scared to put on the radio. And so I'm kind of scared that he would be, yeah, like you. I'm kind of scared that he would kind of, you know, I don't know. Crevice, how do you think you do on the radio? He'll text me in a minute if he's listening. But I'm kind of scared to put him on the radio, but this is the kind of things we sit around and talk about, these shows. And so as we near Halloween, we're going to talk about a few more of those things. If you've got some good Halloween stories, some good ghost stories, you can email them in, bighonkinshow@gmail.com, bighonkinshow@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you about those things. because we'll turn the lights off in here and we'll tell like your ghost stories and it'll be ooh scary. But for right now, we're going to take a break. And when we come back on the other side of this break, we've got your real-life superhero for the week, a couple of other nude stories, and I'm surprised we're over halfway there. Not nude stories. News. Actually, one is a nude story, but we'll talk about that when we get there. We'll be right back on the Big Honkin' Show.
He kissed her. She said, mister, take an inch and I'll give you mine.
Big Honkin' Show on the radio, about 17 minutes till the top of the hour, about 17 minutes left in the show, and we're glad you're here along with us today. Brought to you by Griffin Insurance of Douglas, Georgia, your local Grange agent. They're now serving all kinds of businesses and people here in Hazelhurst, so check them out, go see them, Griffin Insurance, your local Grange agent. Well, it's that time again. Here on the Big Honkin' Show, time to celebrate the triumph of the human spirit, to celebrate what in the world. Make some noise, why don't you? Yeah, that came over like everyone heard you fram things around. My Lanta, oh my Lanta. To celebrate the triumph of the human spirit with our real life superhero this week. What happened? Oh, got it. You know what? Note to self, make sure all your levels are up. Make sure all your levels are up. That's the wrong... Great, great. There we go. Before we get into the real-life superhero... Got a text from Mama. Dancing with the stars is real. Ghosts are of the devil. However, I never told you that I dressed up and trick-or-treated the same year I graduated high school. So, think no, Mama, you never told me that. I'm so glad you did. All right, our real-life superhero this year, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Organizers of the Twin Cities Marathon said they won't disqualify an 81-year-old runner who won his age group after using a borrowed catheter. Jerry Johncock of Shelby, Michigan. was sidelined at an aid station about 21 miles into Sunday's race. She told me to quit picking on you. Was sidelined at an aid station about 21 miles into Sunday's race because a blood clot prevented him from urinating. The aid station had no catheter, but a spectator stepped forward to offer Johncock a catheter he had in his car. Aides helped insert the catheter, and Johncock went on to finish in a little over 5 hours and 22 minutes. Race officials considering disqualifying Johncock because of a rule against improper assistance, but Executive Director Virginia Brophy-Ackman said they decided Johncock didn't break the rule. She called Johncock a great role model and example of what you can do as a runner. Johncock's wife, Dorleen, said her husband was cheered by the ruling, and she said he found the whole situation a little humorous. Let me tell you something. When you start talking catheters and borrowing them, there's nothing humorous about that. Well, okay, it's kind of funny on the outside looking in, but from the inside looking out, mm-mm. So, you know, I'm trying to run the marathon here, eh? And that's more Canadian than, you betcha. Yeah, sure, trying to run the marathon and couldn't quite pee myself like everyone else was doing. Have you seen those people that do that? Like, they'll be running and just... Right there. Just, yeah, I know, it's pretty gross. Right there all over themselves, just kind of do their thing. Not old Jerry Johncock. Jerry Johncock's like, excuse me, sir, you got a catheter I can borrow? I've got to win this thing. Hey. In related news, the catheter was borrowed from the 91-year-old World War II vet that held the boy up naked. I'm kidding. That's a joke. No, that's a joke. You remember that story? Held the boy up naked. He was naked and he like stopped to enter. So 81-year-old Jerry Johncock joins the ranks of the 91-year-old World War II vet and others who have shown us how the human spirit can triumph in this world. We salute you, Jerry Johncock, this week's real life superhero. I tell you what, from the triumph of the human spirit to the lowest of the low. Quincy, Massachusetts, police said a Boston man and woman upset with getting an order of small French fries instead of large were charged for throwing money and cones at McDonald's cashiers. Christina Gallipo and Eugene Jackson pleaded not guilty Wednesday to assault charges in Quincy District Court. According to police, Gallipo, 22, became enraged after getting the wrong size fries at a Quincy McDonald's. Now, this woman is the picture of a mad fat woman. I said large. I said large fries. Give me large fries. Police said Gallipo exchanged words with a cashier, then threw her spare change at her, hitting her in the face. Police said 33-year-old Jackson then picked up two-foot-tall cones from the mopped floor and hurled it at employees, cutting one employee's nose. It was unclear whether Gallipo or Jackson have hired an attorney. Let me tell you how the only way this story would have been better, okay? Number one, if someone throws change at you, not a big deal, okay? It happens with idiots. I used to work at McDonald's. We had a guy come in one night. He was a little intoxicated. He ordered some fries. 45 minutes later, got a call. My fries are cold. I'm like, well, no way. Really? You ordered them 45 minutes ago. And so people are stupid, all right? There's no sense in getting... The thing is, let me explain to everyone how it works. If something goes wrong with your order at one of these places, don't be a jerk. Politely take it back up to the counter. Say, I'm sorry, but this is how I wanted this thing. And they'll make it right for you. If they don't, then you might want to get a little haughty, talk to a manager. But there's no sense in getting violent. The only thing would make that... And so what happened, though, is they're like, oh, I'm throwing my change at you. Baby, throw something at him, too. And so her boyfriend, or whoever this guy was, is like, I got something. And he picks up the caution wet floor sign. That's what the cone they're talking about are. And he picks that up and chunks them at him. The only thing that could have been better... is if in this story there was a line, he injured his back when he slipped and fell upon throwing the cones. Because I would love the idea of just the guy chunking it and his feet coming out from it. Because that happened to me several times on a wet floor in a restaurant back in the old restaurant days. As I was mopping and then boom, would just hit the floor because it's wet and slippery. And those signs are true. It is slippery when wet. So, you know, just jerks, just idiots. I'm amazed at the people. In related news, these two people nominated Barack Obama for the Nobel Peace Prize. So, yeah. Jerks. Jerks, jerks, jerks. We're going to be right back, taking one more break, and we'll be back right after this on the Big Honkin' Show.
Seems I've got to have a chance to see you. Every night I have the strangest dream.
It's the Big Honkin' Show on the radio. Coming in to the closing moments of what I know has been hard for me, I'm sure it's been hard for you, the listening audience. And so Buck owes us all an apology. That's all I'm going to say. As does John, Jason, Josh, and Ashley. I even tried to get my girlfriend on, and she's like, she had talked about wanting to be on, and then just gave me all kinds of mess when everything wasn't perfect to her standards. So, but she did make a good point. Who carries a catheter around in their car just to loan out? You never know when you might need a catheter to loan out. So, I don't know. Real quick before we go, vampires vow till death do us part at an Ohio wedding. Columbia Station, Ohio, an Ohio bride and ghoul have vowed to love each other and haunt and howl at the moon together at Halloween at a Halloween-themed wedding. 61-year-old Jack Hulsinger and 44-year-old Connie Spitznagel were both made up as pale-faced vampires for their ceremony Saturday night at a haunted house near Cleveland. The two chose the location because it's operated by the same people who own a campground where the couple met. Hulsinger arrived in a coffin inside a hearse, and the coffin was carried to the altar by six pallbearers. Minister Greg Kopp was dressed as Jason in the Friday the 13th movies. It was like... it was all innocent fun till the minister had to get all brutal and bloody with it. After the vows were exchanged, he ordered Hulsinger not to kiss his new bride, but instead bite her on the neck, and everyone shuddered. 61-year-old, 44-year-old, getting married. There are freaks everywhere. Freaks everywhere. So, I don't know what to say about that. So, that I guess it just goes right along with our little Halloween thing we got going. So, I don't know. Just kind of freaks me out, to be honest with you. You know, there are idiots everywhere, though. Don't just say stupid people are in Georgia. There was a guy got carried to his wedding in a hearse. Of course, I guess that's fitting. They say the only difference between a wedding and a funeral is you can smell your flowers at the wedding. Oh, we didn't talk about the pudgy naked backyard dancer today. Out in Dallas, Dallas police are looking for a man who they said repeatedly sneaks into backyards, dances around naked, and then runs away. Police believe the man has been exposing himself in the same neighborhood since 2005. 4 years this guy's been doing it. His most recent incident was on September 30th. Police said he usually climbs a fence or goes through a gate and either dances naked or jumps into a swimming pool naked. Police say he also has danced naked on top of a backyard air conditioning unit. Police say they're looking for a pudgy man who's about 6 feet tall and covers his face while dancing. Out of shame. Dallas Police Senior Corporal Janice Crowther said police want to catch him before it escalates into something worse. It's been 4 years. The man's dancing. If he hasn't... You gotta be careful. Let me just say, going over fences, dancing on air conditioning units, pudgy naked guy. You don't want to be a pudgy naked guy trying to get on an air conditioning... You don't want to be a pudgy guy getting on an air conditioning unit. Not much less to move around dancing. So, I'm going to save that one and talk to Buck about it later, too. That's just too good. And speaking of Buck, we would not be the Big Honkin' Show without the words of wisdom from Buck's pappy. And this is from Buck. He sent an email, said, "It's like my pappy used to say, Steve, don't ever let another man wash your lawnmower." I have no idea what that means. It's been the Big Honkin' Show. Find us on the web, bighonkinshow.com, www.bighonkinshow.com. Email us so that when I end up on days like this, that I have something to actually talk about. bighonkinshow@gmail.com, bighonkinshow@gmail.com. Appreciate you spending an hour of your day with us today. Hope you have a great Saturday. Try to go have some fun, because that's what Saturdays are supposed to be about. And we'll see you next week.